Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living.
Welcome back to another episode of All Booked, where we are on the clock, and Carrie is reviewing a book that has that same title.
Yes, is On the Clock by Emily Gundelsberger. I don't remember the subtitle.
That's okay.
That's cool. That's enough for people to find it.
So if they're intrigued by your review. Assuming the book's about.
Assuming that you can spell Gundelsberger.
Yeah, just spell On the Clock.
Yeah. I think most of our listeners can do that.
Yeah, I believe in you.
Hopefully.
So tell us a little bit about On the Clock.
Okay, so
and work at 9 to 5.
Work at 9 to 5. Well, first of all, it's probably more like
8 to 5.
9 to midnight.
That's true.
So On the Clock is, I would say, it's kind of like an updated version of Nickel and Dime.
Okay.
By Barbara Ehrenreich, another hard to spell last name, that kind of takes the exploration of working life into the 21st century. So the author goes and works for 3 different places. So she works for Amazon at a fulfillment center.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Yeah. She works for a call center called Convergys that is kind of like a multinational conglomerate that handles phone calls for AT&T.
Okay.
And, well, I just remember AT&T, but also like Dish Network and all these different companies.
Major companies, yeah.
Yeah. And then she works at a fast food place.
So really,
do you remember?
Just the trifecta of suffering.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember which fast food place by any chance?
I think it's McDonald's.
Okay.
But I could be wrong about that. So, where do I start?
Tell us which one was the worst for her.
It's kind of hard to say which is the worst. They all have their own special brands of brands.
Yep.
I don't know.
Was her goal with this to try to see if she could collect a livable wage doing these things and how much she had to work to be able to sustain a lifestyle of any sort?
I think that's kind of an implicit goal. I think also she worked for like this small newspaper in Pennsylvania, I want to say, that got shut down, and she was also just like strapped for cash. So I'll work here and then maybe I can make an article out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But what she finds working, you know, in particular at the Amazon Fulfillment Center, is that she's so exhausted she can't even write. You know, because the fulfillment centers are located somewhat close to, like, metropolitan areas. But you have to understand, I don't think that I really comprehended how big an Amazon
is. There are, like, multiple football fields.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Like, the one she worked at, or one of the ones she worked at, was 1 million square feet.
Wow.
4 stories, 1 million square feet.
Yeah.
And people will be assigned to, like, different floors, and you will walk up to, like, 12, 15 miles a day.
Yeah.
Picking things off the shelves.
Dude.
To send them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's not good floors either. They're concrete floors.
Yeah.
And as you can imagine, it's impossible to keep 1 million square foot warehouse air conditioned. So like during the summer, for example, people will pass out from like heat exhaustion and stuff like that. Also, like you get your 30-minute unpaid break, right?
Yeah.
And you get a 15-minute break every so often. But they count your break time starting from the last item you scan. So when you pick something off the shelf, you scan it.
And then you have to walk through the million.
Yeah. But how picking works is that you have like a little scanner thing that has a digital readout, and you pick something off the shelf that is called for, and it gives you the little coordinates. You scan it, put it in your bag, it tells you when the bag's done, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so when you want to take your break, it counts it from the last item that you scan, and it takes you like 5 to 10 minutes to get from your location on the floor to
any break room or
the break room to the bathroom.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and then also like it has this like countdown thing on it. So
that's
when you're going too slow, as the time is running out, it like starts beeping at you, and it's like beep 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 beep. Ah, you're out of time. Ah, you're not scanning. Also, if you're sick, I didn't know this. If you're sick, you can't just, like, call out and, like, you know, maybe you won't get paid, but, like, you're sick, so it's okay. No, you get, like, points.
Docked
from you.
Yeah.
Like, a quarter of a point or a point. Like, if you are late at all, you get, like, a quarter of a point docked. If you call out, it's, like, 1 point. If you don't call out and you don't show up, it's, like, 2 points or something like that. And you get a total of 3 or 4 points before your card is just deactivated. You don't work there anymore. You can't get in.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, they have vending machines of painkillers.
Dude.
On-site medical staff. Also, somebody was, like, dead in an Amazon warehouse for, like,
remember that was reported.
Yep.
And they were like, just go back to work. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And it almost seems comical sometimes, like, when that thing came out that Amazon had patented, like, a worker cage
mm-hmm.
for the top of their, like, robot
yeah.
things. And at that point, it feels like, this can't be real. This is some sort of, like, weird video game where you play in, like, a corporate wasteland.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, oh, no, it's just this culture of, like, you're not worth anything but what you can, like, provide to us.
You're a replaceable cog.
Yeah, no, literally, like, I don't care if it takes you 15 minutes to pee. You only have 5.
So, like, yeah, on the one hand, Amazon would 100% replace all of its workforce with robots if they could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It just turns out that it's really hard to program a robot to have the manual dexterity it takes to pick something off the shelf. And that could be, like, a good thing if you think about it, because, like, really nobody should be doing this job. It's
right.
a job
yeah.
for a robot. If a robot can do it, a robot should do it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, what's going to happen to all the people?
Who work at Amazon.
Don't have
maybe
any other option because Amazon gutted their local economy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be robot repair people.
Maybe.
But probably not.
It's kind of it could be like a mechanic, you know, in the future or something
yeah.
like that.
This is one of those things that, I mean, I use Amazon because I...
Oh, I use it constantly.
Yeah.
yeah
all of us do.
It's one of those things, though, where I'm like...
I have a problem, really.
I feel like I could say no to, like, 2-day delivery and change it to, like, 3 or 4. Like, I used to do that back in the day. It used to be normal for me to not get a package in 2 days. And I would be okay with changing that if it meant that I knew people were getting, like, a full 30 minutes, not just, like, 30 minutes with 10-minute walking times to actually eat food during the day when they're walking 15 miles to walk my package.
I can't even imagine trying to do something like pump if you're a new mom or...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
oh, no.
Forget about it. Yeah.
New mothers don't work at Amazon.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, like...
They need the fittest among us.
Amazon would still pursue these...
No,
I think they would still pursue the kind of workplace policies that they
yes,
have.
Yes, because it's more efficient and easier
it's more
for them
efficient.
They get
it's
more
easier
money
for them.
And people.
Yeah.
And
even if everybody chose, like, 2-week shipping.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
something like that.
Because then they just
Which
wait to the last possible minute and
yeah.
then make them
yes.
walk 15 miles.
Yeah, and that's another thing that comes up in the book, which is, like, something called just-in-time scheduling.
Yes.
Which is a lean principle on some level, I think.
Well,
yeah,
it does talk about, like, the lean, and it addresses, like, Henry Ford and George
Efficiency
Taylor.
Gone too far.
Taylorism?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The guy, Frederick Taylor.
Yeah.
Who first came up with, like, scientific management,
mm-hmm.
which was not without problems initially, but was not intended, I think, exploit people in this.
Right.
Place.
I mean,
yeah.
this is kind of the dark side of it and why there was so much resistance initially, because
yeah.
people
yeah.
were like, hey, we're not robots. We...
yeah, like oh, you're just going to make us robots. No, we're not. Amazon is.
Yeah.
But we're not trying to.
yeah, it's like, I think it's like any tool that...
Yeah,
it's dangerous in the wrong hands.
It
can be used for ill. Science brought us lots of things, for example, but also like atomic weapons and stuff. Or nuclear power can power a city or destroy a city, pretty much. It's a good thing to think about. But, oh, back to just-in-time scheduling, what that is. Wait, what is it?
It's like waiting until
the last minute to tell people.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but what happens is that people aren't notified of their schedule ahead of time, their work schedule. So, you know, these jobs, you can't sustain yourself on minimum wage or $8 or $9 an hour. You just can't working a full-time job. So people need to work in this situation second jobs. But it becomes impossible if you have two employers that are scheduling you just-in-time scheduling-wise, because they'll probably schedule you for the same time eventually.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, how are you supposed to have a kid? How are you supposed to
yeah.
go to the bank? even
or
if you
grocery
some,
shop.
For some reason only need one job, you won't be able to have a social life or do all of the other things that
yeah.
make being human nice.
You just have to drop everything.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the call center.
So the call center...
Is that emotionally traumatizing?
Yeah. You know, what's funny, she has this interaction where it's like her first bad interaction on the phone. They kind of throw you in without very much training.
Here's your manual.
Yeah, kind of. Well, you get training, and you're supposed to still be in training, but you're handling calls by yourself. And also, even if you're just customer support or technical assistance, they're also expecting you to sell new products to the customer.
Of course.
On every call. And you're supposed to try three times. So if you've ever been on the phone with like a call center and they're trying to sell you stuff and you're like, no, I want to cancel, or like,
yeah,
I just need this fixed. That's because they have to. So she's on the floor. She's supposed to still be in training, but the call center also is very big and there's a limited number of trainers, and they're mostly assisting with people who are making sales at the time.
Of course.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's where their priorities are. So she's on the phone with this lady. This lady is also working for call center. And she's on her lunch break, like trying to resolve this issue she has with AT&T. You also have to go through this kind of Rube Goldbergian system of like different computer applications, computer programs to like make your notes and fix this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to open them in like a certain sequence.
Oh gosh, yeah, because otherwise they don't cooperate or
they
something.
They don't cooperate.
Yeah.
And everything was built on this architecture of a program that had some like serious issues with data privacy. So like they don't officially use it, quote unquote, but it's still required by every other program to operate.
Oh
and
my
then
gosh.
The most complicated things are still nested within this program that they never actually get taught how to use.
Okay.
Because they don't, quote-unquote, use it.
Yeah, they're, quote, moving away from it or whatever. So by the time, you know, and they're only supposed to take, like, 5 or 10 minutes per call, if that. By the time this woman on the other end gets, like, explodes and unloads in this, like, tirade of cursing at the author, it's been, like, 30 minutes. Lady's late going back to her call center job, and the author is just like in tears. And that's when
the
trainer
finally
comes over, pulls up like unquote used program, and like fixes it in like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, another really interesting thing about this book is that when she's at the fulfillment center, which was like really my favorite part, was when she was working at the center. Not favorite, but most interesting.
Well, no, yeah, because it's almost like unreal, like the size
yeah.
of it. Like
I think any of us can imagine working in a call center
yeah.
or working
yeah.
at a fast food place.
But it's like this, like dark.
Yeah, she describes it as like you're in there and you look out and it's just rows and
yeah.
rows as far as the eye can see until it like recedes into like almost a horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Just these rows of things.
Almost
yeah.
like IKEA. Like
yeah.
Quadrupled.
Yeah.
I imagine it's like otherworldly. Like once you're in the building, there is no outside world. It's
yeah.
just kind of like you live in a world that is only boxes.
Yeah. Oh, so when she was working there, she meets these people, her coworkers, who they're kind of like train hoppers or something. Like
okay.
they're, you know, travelers who... You know, just go where the fulfillment jobs take them. And
oh my gosh.
And all their like short-term contract work. So
mm-hmm.
like in the winter they go up to, or the summer they'll go up to Alaska and they'll work at this salmon gutting plant.
Mm-hmm.
And they just travel around the country working these short-term jobs, just kind of like itinerant.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the only workforce that really can be sustained by like the model of gig economy jobs
yeah.
that is evolving. And that's really what it's not just about just jobs in general, but more like the gig economy type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's like you're a quote contractor, there's no benefits, like
yeah. you're not really an employee.
You're
like,
not really an employee, you're in training forever and then you're fired.
Right.
You know, no protections, nothing. People with no roots and nothing to lose, really.
Yeah, and also, like, on the downside of it, like, no social system, no,
yeah.
like, people around them who can help them if something happens to them. Like, it cuts out everything that can help someone, like, outside of work.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, but work's the only important thing, so.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep going. Oh, the other thing is that she works at multiple Amazon fulfillment centers. One of them is, I want to say it's in Kentucky or Ohio, but like everybody's addicted to opioids. And part of the reason
is... Dude, because it's so miserable?
It's, yeah, she talks to like this addiction specialist and he talks about how it's like a disease of the soul. It's like,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like the physical repetitive stress injuries, but like the spiritual.
Well, yeah, you're basically being dehumanized.
Yeah, yeah. It's a real fun read. I recommend it.
I think it should be, if not required reading, recommended reading for people who take advantage of Amazon's 2-day shipping, just so you know what really happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, like...
Or anyone who calls call centers and gets mad immediately. It's not pretty on the other side either.
Yeah. I don't begrudge anyone hypocrisy, because I'm an enormous hypocrite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But at least it's good to know what...
The reality of what's happening.
Yeah, the reality of the world we live in. So, anyway.
Interesting.
Definitely should read it.
If you like Nickel and Dimed, if you read Nickel and Dimed, it's a good book.
If you like books about the working world, the real world out there.
Bleak though it may be.
Bleak though it may be.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to live in a post-apocalypse corporate wasteland that is only rows of boxes.
Or as Reddit calls it, a boring dystopia.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing this book with us. It is interesting, even though it's bleak.
Thank you for having me again.
And stay tuned next week for some upbeat reads.
Bye.
Bye.